Beginning of our service, we confess to God, we consider his word, and we pray corporately. So open to James 1, James chapter 1. We're going to be taking a look at verse 21 today, but I want to read a little bit wider section. I'm going to read James 1, 17 through 22. Hear now the word of God. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Amen. As I said, we're going to take a look at verse 21 today, but I wanted to start with a little wider section so we can lay the foundation, get a little context. We see here how God brought us forth by the word of truth. See, through the sovereign will of God, by grace through faith, through the Spirit of God, he's convicted us by the word of truth, and we're brought into the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. As Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have this beautiful union of the word and the Spirit by which we're brought forth. And in God's act of justification in this way, the word's implanted, engrafted, it says, into us. So now with that as a foundation, let's take a look at verse 21 closely today. See, since the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The first admonition that we recognize is who we are, what we've been given, our identity in Christ. We have to remember the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're going to work hard to convince you that you're something else, right? Remember who we are. We're the redeemed. We've received an inheritance with the saints of light. We've been chosen by him before the foundation of the world, and we have the most powerful word ever within us. Amen? Amen. So let's fill our hearts and minds and with good things. You know, sometimes the word of God is not on our mind. It's not in our hearts all the time. We have to ask ourselves, what are we filling our hearts with? What is on our heart? What's captivating our hearts? Is it full of fear? Are they full of doubt? Are they full of external things? You're filling your heart and mind with TV, movies, whatever's on the internet, man's approval, maybe your wants, your desires. Am I seeking the next best thing in life? That's what's filling my heart every day? As James says here, don't fill it with filthiness, impurity, impure desires. You know, sometimes our hearts and minds are so packed with other things, there's not much room left for the word of God to thrive and live and blossom. You know, a young man recently told me he was struggling with this, struggling with thinking and receiving and meditating on the word, and turns out he has a practice of staying up till about 2 in the morning every morning, kind of surfing the internet, maybe for 4 to 5 hours. Yes, our hearts and minds will be filled with something. May we be diligent to consider what we're filling it with. Proverbs 4 reminds us, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. And despite the common phrase that we hear often, I don't know that people are really empty. Sometimes people will say, I'm just so empty. I actually think we're full of something. But what are we full of? We're full of the right things. James says, lay it aside, get rid of it, and receive the implanted word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Amen? It's like Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody likes Thanksgiving. You know, you kind of have just, you eat once on Thanksgiving, right? It's not like you have your normal breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, huge dinner. No, it's all for that Thanksgiving feast. So, you know, the ladies are there and preparing in the kitchen, maybe, or whoever it is, preparing in the kitchen, and they say, okay, we're going to eat in about an hour. Get ready. But you go off in the corner, and you eat a whole loaf of white bread. What, may it not be so with our hearts, brothers and sisters, right? Perishable things, fruitless things, when the feast awaits. Let us be full of the word, which is lasting and eternal and real and genuine, the real meal God has to feed our souls. So let's ask ourselves, what's driving my heart? What's got a foothold in my soul? Is it the word of God? Is it something else? And next in the passage we see here, something really interesting. James says, receive with meekness the implanted word. See, the word's in us, but we still need to receive it, which is a little odd consideration, right? Typically when you receive something, when something's already in you, you don't have to receive it, you have it. But it is with the word. Even though it's implanted within us, we do need to receive it. It's like many years ago, a discipler of mine, a mentor of mine, I had a big decision to make, a big career change. In fact, I made this big career change many, many years ago. But I asked him for some counsel and wisdom, and he told me, I met with him. He told me, this is my counsel and wisdom to you. And I said, thank you. And I went away. He called me about a week later. And he said, I know you heard me, but did you receive my counsel? He was saying, did you consider it? Did you internalize it? Did you pray about it? Did you accept it and put it into practice one way or another? Did you receive it? We need to receive the word of God that is within us in the same way. See, there's an active sanctifying role here for us that's propelled by genuine faith, a desire to receive that implanted word. So clear out the stuff that's keeping your heart from thriving on the word of God and making the word of God preeminent. Last week, Pastor told us, where's the word of God? Is it priority number one of all those things you read? Is it what you go to? It's been placed there by God, implanted. Make room for the word to blossom. It reminds me of the big field we had in the old house we just moved in. Most of you have probably seen it. You know, it was green, but it was mostly weeds, actually. I'll just tell you now that we moved away. But there was some grass. I found some grass in that field in a couple places. But, you know, it was mostly weeds. And you know what weeds do? They grow up and they kind of spread out like this and they cover the grass so they can get all the rain and sunshine. And although that soil had some grass planted, implanted in it, the word, the grass, couldn't really grow. So let's get rid of the weeds. Get rid of the stuff that takes over. And just let that word of God thrive within us. The scripture also says we need to receive the word of truth with meekness. And I think we all have a sense of what meekness means, but particularly in this context, James follows it by saying, this is the word of God that can save your soul. Wow, what a consideration to understand the depth of this word, the holiness of it. You know, what is meekness for us today as we consider the word? I think the best way to say it, we could talk about humility, we could talk about resigning to something, not complaining, but it's submission to God's divine will, right? Receive and submit the divine truth and his will. Let that sword of the Spirit cut your heart. Purge and refine and bless. Do you want to be molded and formed by the precepts of the gospel? See, as we receive it, the fruit that's born is not according to our fleshly mold, but according to the word that's engrafted into our souls. So the truth contained here in this word, every time we have the blessing of considering that God's put the word in us and considering this word, think about this word and what it's done. First of all, it's all around the world. It's not just here. How many have died for this word and the truth in it? Right? How many hard hearts have been made soft by this word? Right? How many have been driven to the conviction by the Spirit, the repentance of this word? May we be sober and even tremble as we receive this word. And lastly, as James finishes this section, he says, receiving the word means living it out, doing it. Right? No more messing around with the Word of God. I mean, James, he bookends this. He says, don't deceive yourself. And at the end of the passage, don't deceive yourself. Don't kid yourself. If you're really going to receive the Word, really receive it. Right? You can't say, oh yeah, I received the Word. I believe in God. And then you go say something dishonoring to your father. Not just on Father's Day. Another day of the year. Right? No. Receive the Word. Live it out. Make this your life. Put it into practice. It's in you already. Be a doer and a liver outer of the Word. Live it out. Make it alive. That's what Christ has us to do. So in summary, let's lay aside the impure desires, the wastefulness, the white bread. Don't eat that. God's given you the feast. 2, let's fill our hearts with good things and our souls with good things. The Word of God, that's all we say. That's all we need, right? 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God's given us all things for life and godliness. All things we need. Let's just take that in. 3, receive the Word. It's there in us. May we think on it. Talk about it. Meditate on it. Day and night, it's our spiritual food. And when we receive it, let's yield ourselves to God with a humble spirit. Let's be willing to hear of our faults and want to be made more like Him. And lastly, let's receive it with meekness and a sobriety. This is the Word that saves our souls. May we come to the Word of God knowing it for what it is. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you and we consider the Word that is implanted and engrafted within us, Father, we confess to you that we don't receive it all the time, even though it's right there within us, Father. Lord, help us to remove and lay aside that which is in the way, to pluck the weeds and not to take on the white bread of stuff of life that fills our hearts and minds with fruitless things. But may we give room, maybe water, may the sun shine down on the Word of God that is within us, implanted within us, that may it thrive and blossom, bloom and grow, and may that consume us. May that come out of our mouth, Lord, for out of the heart the mouth speaks. And Father, we pray, God, that you would fill us with this desire by faith. Give us that faith and propel us forward, Father, into action to be doers of your Word in all things. And we take a moment now to individually confess before you.